Okay, finally, brethren, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. And, of course, this is what we also do one with another, that we take the burden as a responsibility to continue to present our names before the Lord so that He continue to assist us as we continue this binding together, weaving and binding together. So finally, brethren, he says, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. Okay, free course also has to do without the obstacles, or the protests of the sinners. Okay, without the obstacles, the protests of the sinners may have free course and be glorified. So I highlight the word free course and glorified, and it has to do with the exalted fruit. Okay, exalted in fruit. Okay, the word there in verse 1 also has to do with this knowledge, the knowledge of this truth. Okay, would continue to progress. Okay, without the distractions of false knowledge. Okay, but that also would have a free course to be glorified again, exalted in its fruit. I mean, it's increase, its value, its multiplication. Okay, even as it is with you. Okay, we see that there in verse 1 there. Okay, that also any of the obstructions of the and protests of the sinners, will not hinder this, or not hinder us or you in your growth. Okay, the protests, the obstructions and protests of the sinners will not hinder you. Okay, and these are a lot of things which we experience every day. Okay, and of course, this is coming through those which are opposing government. And we'll see that in verse 6. Okay, the obstructions will come from those, particularly that oppose government. Okay, so in verse 2 he says that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Okay, so I highlighted the word unreasonable. Okay, unreasonable again has to do with those which are following the untamed nature of the logic. The untamed nature of the logic, they will continue to stand against. Okay, you see the kingdom of God. They trying to impose their knowledge. Okay, their knowledge is the compass. Okay. That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. So I hide the word wicked there. You know, he's going to explain what these wicked men are. And of course, we know that these wickedness has to do with the pursuit of the aspiration and the imposing of the principle. Okay, whose roots go back to Satan. Okay, because and as we read there in the book of Ezekiel, okay, you were perfect until in the day that you were created, until iniquity is found within you. And we saw the iniquity has to do with that of the projection of one's record, as the plan of God, as the truth of God. Okay, the projection of one's own record is a lie. Okay, the projection of one's record is a lie. So all men are liars, as the psalmist says. Okay, all men are liars. As Paul said, the same thing. Because they want to project the record of their soul as a valid compass for the logic, and we know it's not. Because we know the logic is greatly restricted by the prejudice of life. But it's only that which the grace of God gives us the broad perspective, the open window, not the window of the conscience, but the open window is concerning the full view, not the keyhole, but the full view. So that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. The opposers of government, the rioters of truth, lawless to government. Okay, for all men have not faith. All men have not faith in Christ. Even though the Lord is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh, yet all those that receive this grace will not build or mold with it. They won't build with it. They won't mold with it. For all men have not faith. They will not be reflectors. They will be projectors. For all men have not faith. So even though God is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh, and we can see that these false brethren have received a valid experience with God, but they turn that valid experience into the boast, into the aspiration, or the imposing of the principle, or to validate the record of their own soul, to oppose government. So these are the unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. In verse 3, the Lord is faithful. So here the Apostle Paul is bringing to the attention of the Thessalonians right here concerning God's consistencies of His plan will be fulfilled. You can't stop it. Because in the mind of God, it's already there. It's already been completed. So he that habits eternity, okay, already sees the very end product, okay, of this work. He already has a photograph of it. He has the end product of this work. Okay, in verse 3 there, so we go on. But the Lord is faithful. And of course, I highlighted the word faithful because we're talking about concerning his consistencies of his plan. Okay, so back in verse 2, just for a second, for all men have not faith, that means they have not faith in Christ to bring the fruit to perfection because they heed to the false knowledge of Satan. They can't bring the fruit to perfection with false knowledge. Okay, false knowledge would be, again, a barrier or restrictive factor. It'd be like arid ground. The seed which fell upon the wayside, or the seed that fell upon the rock, or the soil, you know, the bad soil. Okay, for all men have not faith. Okay, but here again, the Apostle Paul says, even though a man is weak within his consistencies because of his logic, yet God is not weak in his consistencies, is he? Okay, because he's perfect. God is not weak in consistencies. That's why he's called the faithful and true witness. Okay, because he's not weak in consistencies. His consistencies, okay, are without error, okay, and without any kind of barriers. Okay, it's the same thing in the third covenant. When we get in the third covenant, our consistencies will be without any barriers. Okay, right now, our consistencies are continually navigating, okay, around, you see, the obstacles of life, okay, including, you know, yourself, Satan, and the world. Okay, you're navigating around these things and overcoming them. Okay. So we have to depend upon his faithfulness and his consistencies in order to sustain us, okay, and navigating around these, okay, sunken rocks. Okay, so in verse 4, in verse 3 again, the Lord is faithful who will establish you. Okay, so he's going to establish us with his grace, just like Peter said, to establish, strengthen, and settle. So he establishes us with his grace, and he strengthens us with the revelations of grace. He establishes us, he sustains us, okay. He strengthens us, and he settles us. Okay? And it's through the settling that your roots grow deeper and deeper and deeper. If you keep moving the plant from pot to pot, okay, it's going to have a definite effect upon its growth cycles. Okay, and so what God is doing is that, okay, the word settle has to do is that he's not going to allow you to be plucked up, okay, to be moved. Because he knows that the wiles of Satan, okay, is to get you to remove from one pot to the next pot, from one kingdom to the other kingdom, from one perspective to the next perspective. Okay, so you want to stay in one pot so that that your roots can continue to grow deeper and deeper and deeper, and as they grow deeper and deeper and deeper, of course, your fruit is glorified. The fruit of Christ is glorified within you. Okay, it goes from one stage to the next stage to the next stage. Okay. All right. So, in verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. I like that. The word "keep you from evil," okay, not as to wash and to guard you, okay, from the effects of false knowledge. Okay, it's like a plant spray. Okay, he will guard you with a plant spray of truth. Okay, so by spraying plant spray upon you, okay, it will keep certain insects away. Okay, keep certain insects. There's a substance that's called ortho. I think it's called ortho. Okay. Yeah, plant. All right, so plant food. Okay, it's plant food and bug killer. It works together there. Okay, and truth is like a plant food and bug killer. Okay, it assists us within our growth, and at the same time, it kills those little creatures that want to continue to gnaw you. False knowledge. False knowledge is like those little the little plant bugs there.
Lice.
Yeah, they look like lice, but they eat and they damage the leaf of the plant. Okay, and so as you continue to take your daily showers, okay, as you're washing within His grace, okay, or as the Lord sprays upon you that the gospel of this truth, okay, it protects you, okay, and also helps you to defend yourself, okay, against these diseases. Okay? So he will keep you from evil. Okay? And I put, of course, the word evil has to do with false knowledge. The effects of false knowledge, he will guard you. That's the same thing he told the apostles. Okay, and I pray that you take them not out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil. Now, the evil isn't the circumstance, okay, but it has to do with the false knowledge, the wiles. Okay, we know that the evil has nothing to do with circumstance, because we know Peter was put in prison, Paul was put in prison. Okay, we know the James, brother John, there was killed. Okay, by Herod. Herod, not Herod. Herod. Okay, so. The evil has to do with whatever God assigns, whatever path God assigns for you, okay, that he will continue to guard you, okay, from the effects, okay, of these insects, false knowledge. Okay, verse 4. We have confidence. I like the word confidence there, because understanding this pattern, okay, we understand God's consistency, his faithfulness, and his pattern. So we have confidence in the Lord. Okay, so we apostles and the stewards there, we see this pattern all the time, okay, which the Spirit uses as his tether. Okay, the Spirit uses this pattern as a tether. So we have confidence in the Lord touching you. See the word touching. Okay, that's a tether. We have confidence in the Lord touching you, okay, because we see this pattern all the time, which the Spirit uses as his tether. Okay, so God's consistencies, okay, is also strengthens us. And that we rejoice in. Okay, we rejoice in that. Okay, we rejoice in his peace. We rejoice in that rest. We rejoice in these things that strengthen us, these tokens that strengthen us. So we have confidence in the Lord. Okay, that which the Spirit uses in this pattern is touching you, that you will that you both do, okay, in this form of unity and in your priesthood, you both do and will do. So the Apostle Paul is bringing to the attention of the Thessalonians that this knowledge is absolutely necessary, okay, as concerning your washing, as well as your sacrifices of your doxology at the altar. So we have confidence in you touching the Lord. We have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things. So you can hide the word things there. Okay, the things which has to do not only your calling, okay, but also your daily priesthood. Which we command you, okay, which we as a stewardship command you. Okay, we can see the simplicity in the priesthood, okay, but the confusion comes in the imagination. There is simplicity in the priesthood. So people say, could you make this simple for me? Okay, the simplicity lies within the priesthood. The confusion lies in the imagination. Okay, the reason why they're confused, okay, is because they're resisting grace. So when they charge you with folly, okay, by saying your gospel is too complicated, when they charge you with folly, okay, it is because they're using imagination to try to set order, to juggle this, they're trying to juggle this knowledge around, okay, with their logic and the imagine and the hands of the imagination. Of course, we know Satan has this hand in the imagination. So the simplicity is in the priesthood. It's very, very simple. Okay, verse 5. The Lord directs your hearts like that, okay, because the Spirit will always lead you into these things to express his charity. Okay, so the Lord will direct your hearts in love of God. Okay, the simplicity in this priesthood will always direct you into charity. It always direct you into charity. Of course, the end product is the temperament of the Lord, isn't it? The end product is the temperament of the Lord to glorify. You're glorifying him, okay, through this form of temperament. Okay, the fruit to the virtue. Okay, the bud to the flower to the fruit, and the fruit to the virtue. Okay, so and this is the progressive nature of his kingdom, and every branch will be full. And this is the progressive work of his kingdom, and every branch will be full. And this is what Jesus was telling to his apostles: I'm the vine, you are the branches. Okay, abide in me, and I in you. Okay, and then he talks about the fruit bearing. So every branch will be full. There was not a barren branch, okay. You could say in Solomon's garden, there's not a barren branch, because it was at the peak, okay, of the golden era there of Israel. So there was not a barren branch, but when Jesus came there, there was a barren branch, and he cursed it, didn't he? He cursed it. No fruit grow on thee hereafter forever. Okay. And of course Jesus was saying. This was a prophetic rebuke of a symbol. He was using a symbol as a prophetic rebuke. Okay, Israel, okay, which was full of fruit and glory and light, okay, and it was a salt of the earth at the time of Solomon, okay, has turned into great spoilage and reproach. Okay, and the heathen now are ruling them. Okay, even today, the heathen are ruling them. Okay, so Lord, direct your hearts. The Lord directs your hearts, okay, into the love of God. I'll say that again. The Lord directs your hearts in the love of God. That means His Spirit, the Lord being His Spirit, okay, will always lead you, because this is His wisdom, will always lead you into those things to express His charity, the love of God. And look at the temperament. And into the patient waiting for Christ. This is the temperament. Okay, so every branch will be full of fruit, okay, and the temperament of Christ, okay, will be seen. Okay, that's the glory of the Lord. It's like the song of the birds and the trees. Okay, the trees are beautiful in their situation, but the birds are the crown of the tree. Every tree has a crown. Okay, every tree has a crown. Whether it be a cactus, okay, or a thorn tree. Okay, there's birds that dwell within thorn bushes, and there's birds that dwell in the pine, or in the walnut tree, okay, or whatever tree it is. Okay, every tree has its crown, and the crown is the bird, and of course the glory of that tree is a song of the bird. Okay, and so our praises show forth, okay, that crown. Okay, the praises show forth the crown that we are abiding in that vine. Jesus is the tree that we're abiding in, and we are the song of the tree. Okay, verse 6. Now we, stewards, verse 6 here, command you, you know, we stewards, as concerning your sanctification, we command you, saints, we command you, brethren, okay, the saints, sanctified saints here. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the reason why Paul is saying this is because all men have not faith. All men have not faith. So we command you at this point that you withdraw yourselves from every brother. Now this sounds very strange. So we preach a gospel of love, okay, but it will also, as we preach this gospel of love, okay, the love of God, okay, also brings distinction. Okay, the love of God brings distinction, and the love of God as a sword will bring separation. Jesus said the same thing. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. Okay, and Jesus, he says, Jesus was referring to himself as a spiritual arsonist. I am as a spiritual arsonist. Okay, and I am lighting fires all over the place. Okay, this place of darkness, I'm illuminating it. Okay, I'm sowing truth. Okay, people are hearing this. Okay, and the illumination is now starting fires all over the place. So Jesus as a spiritual arsonist is starting fires. Okay, the sparks of this knowledge. Okay, but these right here, okay, this brother right here, okay, is a non-combustible. He refuses to embrace grace. He's a non-combustible. Okay. And he's not a combustible Christian. He's a non-combustible Christian, okay, because he's not allowing the oil to aflame him. Okay, and that's why the word aglow has to do with that we are aflamed by the anointing. Okay. We are aglow with Christ. Okay, we are the combustibles of His kingdom. Okay, we are the lights of the world. So now we command you about this brother who is a non-combustible. Okay, he refuses to show forth the light of Christ, and therefore he walks disorderly. Okay, so now we, we stewards command you. Okay, the true charity of God. Okay, are the combustibles. Now we command you, brethren, by the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that in order to preserve your soul, it be prudent and wise, okay, to observe this command. This is what he's telling the Thessalonians. In order for you to meet that goal, to enter into the glory of God, to be a partaker of the saints of light, okay, within the light of God, you have to, okay, follow these instructions to save your soul. Withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly. Okay, the word to withdraw right there means deny yourselves the compassion. Deny yourselves the compassion, okay, to build within their justification who claim to love Jesus, okay, but disobey the stewardship and government. They say they love Jesus, but they disobey government. Okay, you have to deny yourself this compassion, because we know God is love. And it's a very difficult thing to do. Okay, mostly when you, in time past, at a certain fellowship is molded there. Okay, So it was like another example is that it's like a way, it's like a snake sheds its skin as also animals shed their fur. Okay, it was necessary, okay, for the season for that fur to be present. Okay, but after the season passes, okay, that which is necessary is no longer valid, so it sheds its fur. Okay, it goes into the next season. Same thing with a snake. Okay, the snake sheds its skin, okay, but only at the period of time when it goes to its growth spurt. It sheds its skin. But the skin was necessary for the survival of the snake at that time. Okay, and so is also, okay, the false brethren. The false brethren, okay, were necessary, okay, as the skin of the snake or for the fur of the animal for that time. Okay, but now the fellowship is no longer valid. Okay, so therefore it must be removed. Okay, it must be removed. So here the Apostle Paul is telling the Thessalonians these things, just like Paul told the Romans. They ran into the same problem. Okay, among false brethren. Paul talks about the false brethren also in the book of Corinthians. Okay, so he calls them brethren, but they're false in regarding they are the non-builders. So in verse 6 again, as in Romans 17, 16, 17, and 18. Okay, as in Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. So the apostles, okay, by their experience, they try to nurture the wayward. They try to nurture the wayward Christians. Okay, and this is why Paul finally got to the conclusion after the first and second admonition reject. Okay, Paul, in his own experience, said after the first and second admonition reject. Now, when he says first and second admonition, okay, what he was saying is that I counsel these individuals on a personal basis, not just one time, but even two times. Okay, and it always comes back to that point. Okay, you show compassion to them. Okay, you share with them your time, the knowledge of Christ. But then what happens? Okay, they come right back. Okay, it's like a snake. Okay, the nature of the snake is that once it devours its prey, okay, it is a non-threat. Okay, it just lays in the sun and digests its food. Okay, but once the hunger bites the snake again, the snake then recoils to strike again. And these false brethren, okay, when they feel that they have, okay, achieved the goal, or Satan feeling that the goal has been achieved to sow discord and doubt within a saint, okay, will bask in the sun and tell us to digest, okay, its justifications. And then when it feels the pinch again to justify itself, it will recoil and strike again. Okay. So Paul says, by my experience, okay, these are those by the wayside that will bite the heels of the rider of the horse, okay, to make you fall off, to make you fall and to hurt you and to injure you. That's all they want to do, is to injure. Okay, and when they injure the righteous, they feel justified. When the snake puts his venom on its victim, okay, it feels completely, okay, you say justified. Okay, it's only in rhythm with itself. Okay, and when people sow discord, okay, to draw doubt from your heart and sow sedition within your heart, they feel justified in their own separation. So they have bit with the venom of false knowledge, okay, and then they bask into the sun because they feel they have their justification. But watch out, because it will coil again and strike, okay, to continue to keep you immobilized or put you in comatose, and make you a non-productive vessel in the kingdom of God. Okay, that they'll just bite and bite and bite. Paul says that's enough. Okay, so this is what was happening here, and that's why he says after the first and second admonition reject, because such, okay, are those, okay, which are convicted of themselves. Okay, such sedition that rests within them, okay, is on their own convictions. Whose God is their belly? Okay, he brings that out. Whose God is their belly? Okay, they're living on a diet of their own convictions. Okay, and they're always trying to resolve these questions within themselves. Okay, and And because they can't find, because they cannot find clarity, okay, within their own convictions, they continually resist grace. They can't find clarity within themselves, and so they bite other people. They try to bring some kind of equity to themselves, but see, they'll never rest. They'll never rest because they live from they live from one question to the next question. This is what Paul was experiencing. Okay, to avoid what he calls avoid foolish questions. Okay. To avoid foolish questions, it does not bring you into building. It just brings you to try to resolve the conflict of their own conscience. Faith will resolve it, but because they have no faith, as he brings out here, not all men have faith. It says right there in verse 2, these are the people that are continually biting. Okay. So in verse 6 again, now we stewards command you, brethren, okay, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that means in order to preserve your faith, okay, in order to preserve your faith and to keep your sanctification, to build the name of the Lord and build His kingdom, that you withdraw yourselves, okay. So what to draw yourselves means you have to deny yourselves this compassion. Okay, it doesn't mean that you're not expressing charity. Okay. Even Jesus Himself, leave them alone. Let the blind lead the blind. He actually had to tell his apostles. Remember he told his apostles that? Okay, the apostles were coming to Jesus with more questions, which where did they get these questions from? They got them from the Pharisees. And the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees were continually sowing questions in the minds of the apostles. And then the apostles would run after Jesus and ask Jesus these same questions. Okay, and Jesus would answer the questions, but then it would come right back to that point again. Okay, wasn't he born of fornication? How do you know that his mother was not a virgin? Okay, how could it be that if she had a child, she couldn't be a virgin? Okay, and so they came back to those questions. Nazareth, a prophet from Nazareth? Come on now, we know better than that. Okay, and look at the time frame. Okay, he isn't really expected to come. Maybe he must be the Messiah for the Gentiles. Okay, that's why he's coming now. But the Messiah of the glorious kingdom of Israel will come at the time when he's appointed. Okay, remember the time frame was a tricky one for them. Okay. Okay, so Jesus says, just let them alone. Let the blind leaders lead the blind. Okay. So he says here, so he finally had to withhold his compassion from them. Okay, and that's why he wept over Jerusalem. So you have to deny yourselves the compassion to build with their justifications. That means those who claim to love Jesus but yet disobey the stewardship, they walk disorderly. It says it right there, they walk disorderly. They deny stewardship and they'll affront government. They'll challenge you. Okay, they'll challenge you. They'll challenge your eldership. Okay? And it doesn't just stop there. Okay, it's a constant ongoing problem. Okay, this is why when the apostles wrote these epistles, he wrote them down not only because of the changing the seasons of the first 8th week to the 6th week, but they knew that when the church comes to the conclusion of that season of the 6th week, that they will again begin to affront government in the second 8th week. He knows that because he says, by our experience as we write these things, we know this is going to happen. And it's happening. Okay, they'll walk disorderly. Okay, in verse 6, so I highlighted the word disorderly. Okay, disorder has to do with ambiguity, exaggeration, questions. Okay, just to name a few. Okay, and not after the tradition or habit of practice that we have taught you. That means the tradition here means habit of practice. Okay, habit of practice has to do with the government, the truth and spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, the gifts, the callings, the grace of God. That is your habit of practice. Okay, so you are altar Christians. Okay, you are also a Christian, the Christians of the gold value, not the wax Christian. You're not a wax candle Christian. You are a gold candle Christian, because you are the branches. Okay, you're branches of His kingdom, and you also contain the oil of His light. Okay, the seven lampstand, one candle or one lamp gives light to the other, and this is what we do in the assembly. We are sharing within that one light of the tabernacle. But the candle stands alone, and being a wax candle, it's weak. Okay, and the wax itself comes from that of the lower nature, to be. It comes from the lower nature. Okay? So you want to be a wax candle Christian. Okay? You want to be a Christian of the golden candlestick, the seven golden candlestick. Okay, verse 7, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. Now, I hide the word us there, stewardship. Okay, government. Okay, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. We have not designed a pattern this of our own selves. We did not imagine this pattern. We received this pattern. This is what Peter was bringing out in his epistle. Okay, that we received this revelation on the Holy Mount when we saw the glory of God come upon him. Okay, and this knowledge, we have conveyed to you in its most accurate form. That we did not, by the first casual thought, we did not come up with these ideas of what Christianity is. It was revealed to us by the Spirit. We'll be reading about that in Ephesians here. Okay, for we ourselves know, for yourselves know how you ought to follow us, the steward. For we, as a stewardship, behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Okay, as concerning, we did not set before you something of a religious passion. Okay, but we set before you a covenant priesthood. We didn't set before you a religious passion. You see this in the pulpits every Sunday. Okay, religious passion. They read the text, and they challenge the people, to flagellation of the conscience in order to make them feel worthy. Okay, that's just a religious passion. Okay, but we direct you into a covenant priesthood. Okay, not removing the passion, but rather to what we're doing is that we're focusing upon the faith. Okay. And then he goes here, at this altar, we did not say, neither do we eat any man's bread for nothing. Okay, we labored at the altar. Okay, and because we labor at the altar, we all share in that one bread. So neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. Okay, only those that are the priesthood eat it. Okay, but wrought with labor and travail, not night and day in prayers, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Okay, that means we richly gave you the bread of our altar. Okay, for your priesthood doxologies, the same thing we're doing today. Okay. Verse 9, not because we have not power, but we make yourselves an example. So I hide the word example right there. Okay, make you an example unto you to follow us. Okay, you have to have an example to follow. Okay. The false religious system wants to remove the example. So where is the example going to be found? In their own record. Okay, they want themselves to be the example. Okay, of the government of God. And God says, no, I did not call you to be example. Okay, Moses example, no example. Abraham example, you're an example. Okay, you're an example simply because you have put yourself within the mold and the pattern which God has already preset for you. Okay, you have set yourself within a mold of government. You have set yourself in the mold of this truth. Okay, you have followed the mold of the Spirit. Okay, because the seven golden lampstands there, they were all of one mold, and we're all of that one mold. Okay, from the bowl, from the bowl to the almond, to the knot to the flower, to the base to the branch, from the branch to the main stem, the main stem which is the highest stem, the seven golden lampstand. Okay. So you have a branch, which goes to the main stand right there, which is the divine, Christ the divine. Okay. So we have three and one, seven. You have the three for power. Okay, you have the one there for the healing, and you have the other three, which means the completion of seven, right? Three, four, seven. Okay, which has to do with every branch will begin with a new beginning. Okay, the new beginning, of course, would be within a vine, which brings healing. Okay, within a vine, also you have your consistencies. Okay, of the oil of the lamp. Okay, the bowl. Okay, the bowl, the almond. Okay, the knop, the flower. Okay, to the branch, to the stem. okay, which is all rooted within Him. It's all rooted in Christ. Okay. Okay, but these as wax candle Christians, okay, they have no stem. Okay, they have no knop, they have no flower, they have no almond, they have no bowl, they have no oil. Okay, but they're giving light. Where's that light coming from? Okay, well, it's coming from something of a wax candle. Okay, it's just a wick. Okay, it's just a wick that somebody put together for their own house. Okay, now for your own house, okay. Okay, but for the tabernacle of Christ, which we're all partaker of, there's no place for the wax candle. You cannot bring that candle in here. Okay, but if you bring the candle in here, you just polluted it. Okay, so we are the vessels of the tabernacle. Okay, we are vessels of the tabernacle, of course, and we are branches of the one vine. Okay, and we are all partakers of that one vine, aren't we? Of that one substance, that one oil, the oil that has the five perfect compositions. Okay, they're put within it. Okay, let's go on here. So the those which are independent, the brethren which here are walking disorderly, are the candles. Okay, they're the wax candle. Okay, they're claiming again. They're making the claims. Okay, that a one light looks just like another light. Okay, the light of the oil lamp. Okay, puts out just as much light as the light of the candle would. So therefore there's the distinction of it is very difficult to make. Okay, is that a candle I see, or is that the seven golden lampstand that I see? Okay, and then when you upon examining it, you can see that the light looks alike, but the sources are different, isn't it? So we can see that that's why God struck dead, okay, Aaron's two sons, Nadab and Abihu, okay, because they offer strange fire before the Lord. Okay, but in their minds, what's the difference? Okay, fire is fire, brethren are brethren. Okay, believing is believing, Jesus is Jesus. Okay, but here Moses is teaching them by the Spirit, and he says, but there is a distinction, and there is a difference of his sources. Okay, so those which stand alone, the false brethren are as wax candles. They stand alone, and they have their own light. They're using the grace of God, for their own self-esteem, their own aspirations, their own perspectives, their own government, and their independence. Okay, that's why the candle is itself. It just stands by itself. Now, this is what the angel of the church, he brought to Hermas's attention. Okay, they that sit in the chair are alone, but those which sit on the bench, okay, are those which overcome. Okay, those who sit on the bench, all those that sit together, okay, are those which are as the stones put into the wall. Okay, those which are put the stones in the wall, okay, are the builders. Okay, but as long as that stone is laying over there, it's non-productive, it's not building, okay, it's just a candle over there. They're all by themselves. Okay, but they want to mix their light with your light, okay, and they want to stand for something. Okay, and then it's just a piece of wax. There's no bowl, there's no almond, there's no knot, there's no flower, there's no branch. They stand by themselves. Okay. So these are the ones right here that are walking disorderly, which I brought out earlier. Okay, in verse 6 right here. Okay, that you deny yourselves this compassion to build with their justification, that is those brethren who claim to love Jesus yet disobey the stewardship. Okay, but they're not, their habit of practice is not according to tradition which we gave you. Okay, that is the stewardship for your perfection. So in verse 7 again, for yourselves know how you ought to follow us, the stewardship. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, which means the knowledge which he gave you was not of the first casual thought, okay, but it was by the revelation of the Spirit, which Peter, James, and John received in the mount, okay, when Jesus was with them and unfolded mysteries to them. Okay, neither we any man spread for naught, because all of us partaking that one altar. Okay, but wrought with labor and travail before this altar, day and night, night and day. The reason why he says night and day there, he has to do, remember, that each day began at the conclusion of the other, of the night. Okay, it went from night, darkness to darkness. And we see that. See, and the night and the day were the first day. Okay, we see that in the book of Genesis. We can see that the same thing was spoken about concerning the sacrifices. Okay, that it went from the evening to evening. Remember, at sunset begins the Sabbath day until the next sunset. Okay, so it goes from darkness to light. Okay, not be chargeable to any of you, okay? Because we richly gave you the bread of this altar, and this was for your priesthood doxology, which we'll be offering here pretty soon. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example. You have to have an example. So you are an example to those that are outside yet, see? You're an example, see, of Christ. Because the only Christ they see is you. The only Christ they hear is your faith. Okay? Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example to you to follow us, the stewardship, verse 10. From when we were with you, this we commanded you. Okay? Now the word command right there shows that there has to be some kind of a position of authority in order to direct the activity. Okay? Without that, you have chaos. Okay? In other words, you just have gangs. Okay? Gangs and gang leaders. Okay? And the false religious system is like, you see, gangs of vagabonds. Gangs of vagabonds. Okay? The children of Cain. Okay? The children of Cain united together. Okay, but only to assault, okay, the kingdom of God, okay, the children of Cain, they all perished in the flood, okay, but they only united together to achieve the goal of their own aspirations, okay, and so also the false religious system, okay, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, okay, were as the gangs of vagabonds, the children of Cain, okay, and they also, okay, fought against Jesus, as Cain fought against Abel. And as Cain smote Abel in the head, so also the Pharisees and the scribes, okay, were smiting Jesus, and that's what they did. Okay, they smote him on the head with a reed, okay, after he had the crown. Okay, they smote him on the head with a reed. So as Cain smote Abel, okay, and regarding his disobedience to Cain, to Abel's obedience, so also the false religious system today wants to continue to smite the head. They will smite the head, which has to do with stewardship. Okay. Okay, for this, so here we see there has to be a position of authority, okay, to disseminate, okay, and to also to build, to appoint, to build. For even when with you, this we commanded you, that you should that if any would not eat, that any should not work, neither should eat. If they is not laboring at the altar, as this brother over here was walking disorderly, neither should be partaker of the knowledge. Okay. Okay. If you don't labor, you can't be a partaker of the knowledge. Okay. For here, verse 11. For we hear. Okay. In this reply, and it means it's reported to us by some of you among you that, as he says here, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly. There he says it again. So I drew a line from the word disorderly here, to line this to word disorderly in verse 6. 11 verse 6, see, from verse 11 to verse 6. Okay, that these are those that walk disorderly. Okay, in other words, they're void of a sanctified priesthood, okay, because they're absent of the sanctified stewardship. Okay, if they're absent of the sanctified stewardship, their priesthood, whatever priesthood that they have, which they're laying claim to, okay, is not sanctified. It's not sanctified. Okay. So they're leading the goats, the sheep, and the oxen to the altar, okay. But it just happens to be that the altar they're leading them to, okay, is not the sanctified place where God says, "My presence, I'll put my name there." Well, where did God put His name? He put it in Jerusalem, right? And what did He sanctify? He sanctified the temple in Jerusalem. He says, "I will put my name there. I will only sanctify that." That's where the angel was. Now, if the angel was there, then what were these people offering their sacrifices to? See, their sheep look like our sheep, and their goats look like our goats, and their oxen look like our oxen. They, and their sheep and the oxen make the same noises as ours do, except one thing. They led their sheep out to a hill, and right, and they offered them upon an altar of their own design. Okay, so therefore, it was unsanctified, and Jesus, you offer them unto devils. Okay, devils, he said. Okay. Because these spirits have taken mold or control of your perspective of life. Okay, it's taken your mold, taken the mold, or it's molded, and also taken the perspective of your religious perspectives. Okay, if these spirits can take control of your religious perspectives, okay, then every sacrifice that you offer is not valid. Okay, it's unsanctified. Okay, it has, okay, the fire that you light underneath it is not valid. Remember, Elijah was making these distinctions. Because the worshippers of Baal, they built their altar, and Elijah built his altar. The stones look alike. It was in the same location. Okay, but there's only one thing. It's resources. Okay, it's sources. Elijah says, if the Lord be God, serve him. But if Baal be God, serve him. So Elijah, okay, was the one who's making distinction. Because the word Baal means Lord. Okay, and this was a twist of words. Okay, just like today, they say the word Allah means God. Okay, except one thing. And I said, that's not the word that we use in worship of our God. We don't use the word Allah. We use the word the Lord God. Okay? This was one of Satan's tricks. He says, because the name Baal did mean the Lord. Okay, but look what they were doing with that. See what the spirit which was influencing that interpretation of the word was also influencing their thinking and concerning the altar. So the altar of Baal and the altar of the Lord God. Okay? So Elijah the steward was making these distinctions, and it cost the life of the worshippers of Baal. Okay, it's interesting too. Concerning the numbers, here's one man, and here's over 400 over here. Okay, but who was right? The one man was right, because he was worshiping the true God through covenant. But these 400 over here were under the delusion of Jezebel. They went through her theology school. They had all their credentials. Okay, they had a they had their federal funding, government funding for their churches. Okay, they had their outreach programs. They had their evangelism programs. They had all these things going for themselves in the name of Baal. But God wasn't involved with that. So here, Elijah finally, by the Spirit of the Lord, he's the one that had to make the distinction. Elijah made distinction. Jesus makes distinction. We make distinction. Okay, we're following the divine pattern, see? We're making distinction concerning the Elijah. Okay, and we're saying that your altar looks like altar, right? Your church looks like the church that we go to. Okay, except we go to a library. Okay, so they look at that as being, okay, you worship in a library where your worship really isn't as sanctified as ours, because okay, we have put our sweat and our money within our program and our building, and our building has bells in it. Okay, you don't have nothing. And our choir sings loud. You have a mechanical choir. Okay. So their distinction was based on carnality, wasn't it? I'd say their distinction was unsanctified discernment. Okay. And the unsanctified discernment, okay, are those which oppose stewardship. They have unsanctified discernment. Okay. They weigh everything on a scale of their logic and what they see. That's all they do. That's unsanctified discernment. Okay, like a psychic. Okay. So the unsanctified discerning, okay, will look at you and they will say, who do you think you are? Now you think you have the truth, okay, you think you have a calling, okay, and you're just following this steward over here, like they're accusing Elijah. Now you're just Elijah, you are by yourself, you're crazy. Okay. And that's what and even the prophet said about that. Okay, that those which are spiritual, okay, would be spoken against, and the false prophets would say, stand by yourself, because I am holier than thou. False discernment, isn't it? Okay, busybodies. Okay, verse 11. And for we hear that there are some, and Paul says as already the ghost whisper, okay, the ghost talkers were among them. Okay, and this is what we brought up here in verse 6. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all. They're not laboring at the altar or building the house of God, but they're busybodies. All they want to do is resolve issues concerning their own questions of mind and whispers. Now them that are such, we stewards, as you also will do, command, okay, because you're in a sanctified position to do so, and exhort. Okay, we exhort you. An exhortation has to do with a form of warning with knowledge. Okay, by the Lord Jesus Christ, because you're functioning with the government of God, okay, you're under his sanctification, under his authority, that with quietness they work. Okay, that means that they will stop this private ministering. Okay, to stop this private ministering, because they're only doubting their own philosophy, and they're not laboring in the house of God. that with quietness they work. Quietness they work. And that means they minister privately. Okay, and this is the same thing in the book of Hermas. We see in the book of Hermas too. Okay, about the angel Lord was bringing to the attention of Hermas here concerning those, okay, which are not sitting on the bench, but those which are sitting privately, they also minister privately. All they want to do is that they want to sow their own philosophy or their own form of Jesus to these people. Okay, they're not building the house of God. You're building the house of God. There's a big difference in that. Okay. That with quietness they work these busybodies. Okay, and they stop this private ministering. Okay, because they're only doubting their own philosophy. Okay, and instead of laboring in the house of God. But you, brethren, be not weary in well doing. See, he's making a distinction there. Be not weary in well doing. Okay, because the bread that they're eating is that they're eating only at Baal's altar. Okay, but you are not under the spell of the shadow. They're not under their spell. Okay, but you're showing forth your faith in the assembly there. But you, brethren, be not weary in well doing. Okay, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, so how they would obey not. Okay, the Apostle Paul ran the same thing that we're running into and have run into in the past. Okay, that those which have separated themselves feel that they still have, okay, the authority of God to impose, okay, or to sow discord. Okay, and that's what they can do. They'll keep doing the same thing. They won't stop. Because as long as they feel there's justification, as long as they feel that venom is having an effect, they're going to keep striking. Okay, just like the snake, which I brought up earlier. Okay, when a snake has already devoured its victims, okay, it finds its peace and rests in the sun. It basks in the sun to digest it, right? But once it's digested, it will recoil again to strike again. Okay, and this is what the Apostle Paul was talking about. Okay, that those which are these busybodies. Okay, they only feel satisfied after they injure somebody, but after they have justified themselves in that injury, they'll coil again to strike again. They'll do the same thing again because they'll never stop. They have to keep looking for that justification. But our justification is by the grace of God. So therefore, when we share the truth of God, okay, it's not in a sense of the venom of the beast, okay, but rather to the healing of the soul. Okay. When we share grace, is for healing, okay, which is to bring, which also has to do with, okay, increasing their faith. Truth increases faith. Okay, it doesn't make you stand in doubt and puts you into a state of a coma. Okay, it doesn't do that. But the false religious system will do that in a state of a coma. All right, guys. Okay, well, let's finish up here. But you, brethren, be not weary in well doing. Okay, continue to build. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man have no company with him. Okay, so highlight the word no company. Okay, we just read about that. Don't allow your compassion to snare you. Because even Jesus had to deny people. And we know that. Jesus had to deny people. Remember, they're knocking at the door and crying, says, Lord, Lord, open us. I can't show you my compassion. Okay, it's not because I don't want to. It's because I know the, okay, what will happen and the results if I do, that you will attack. That you want, if I let you in the store, you're going to be a virus. You'll be a virus. Okay, so the Lord, knowing that, says I cannot open to you. It's not that he didn't desire to do that. Remember, it goes all the way back to Adam. Remember, Adam kept begging God, God, let me back in the garden, let me back in the garden. Okay, but the Lord says, I can't. Okay, I can't let you back in the garden, not until the 5.5 days. And then I'll come and I'll restore you back to your back to the bliss of your glory of entering into paradise. Remember, that's what the Lord said to that. See, he was, because God was guided by wisdom. Okay, and this is what Paul's bringing out. Being guided by wisdom to the undiscerning eye may look like disrespect or hardness of heart, okay, or uncaring, being uncaring. Okay? But God, because this is what Paul is bringing out, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and honor and power forever and ever, and amen. Okay, so the Apostle Paul saw that through all these things, that through all these things here, okay, the end, God was all, every judgment God gives is always with the end product, okay, with, always with the with focus of the end product, okay. Okay, so here he says, have no company with him. So Paul's not saying to be hard-hearted, or to be harsh, or to be condemning, okay, or to be scrutinizing. He says, okay, but you just have to deny your compassion, okay, to fellowship, because he's going to take that fellowship and justify himself with it. As long as he's justifying himself with it, he will feel no shame. Okay? But when he feels the shame and he begins to examine himself, then he may come back and start building. That's the key. The key is to put them in a position of self-examination. We'll see this here in a moment. That he may be ashamed. So, verse 14 again. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man. Have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. That means, be ashamed by what? By not being confirmed by us, okay, nor by God. Yet count him not as an enemy, as I brought out. Don't combat doctrine with him, but admonish him, warn and instruct him as a brother, to build the house of God and listen to the stewards. Okay? Listen to the stewards and build the house of God. Okay? Then he goes on here. Now the God of peace, the Lord of peace, himself give you peace, because he knows your struggles, okay, and also he will aid your singleness. He knows your struggle, and he will aid your singleness. Okay? Because all of us, okay, if you're led by your compassion, you become a victim. If you're led by wisdom, you become a victor. Okay? If you're led by your compassion, you'll become a victim. Okay? But if you're led by your wisdom, you become a victor. Okay? A victim or a victor. Okay? It's the same thing about, you know, it's applicable to every area of your life. Okay? Because all of us become victims of our compassion at times. Okay? That's just the nature. Okay, all of us become victims of our compassion, right? You feel that you feed a stray dog, he's going to come back, okay? And before you know it, you have this huge, you say, grocery bill, okay? Because your compassion wants to care for him. You just want to. It's just in the nature of man to want to care. And it's the same thing. We have the stray dog come around all the time. Okay, so I keep snackies on hand, okay, for him. Okay. The thing it is he appeared at the door last night. It was so funny. Okay, we were here busy working, okay, and all of a sudden, out of the shadows of the sunset, comes this dog. He presses his face right against the door, he's one of the homeless dogs. Okay? Well, he hangs around the homeless people, but he comes right to the door. And he'll sit right there at that door, and it's so cute. I mean, it is so cute. It's just difficult to deny him a snacky. Very difficult tonight, you know. And so, but we know what happens, right? You know what happens. The grocery bill starts going higher and higher and higher. Right. Before you know it, he's plundering your pockets. Right. But anyway, it's interesting. Okay, now Lord of peace himself give you peace by all means. The Lord be with you all. And as you obey this sanctified tradition, and apostolic governance. The salutation of Paul by my own hand, he says, which is a token in every epistle. So I highlighted the word token there. This knowledge is your token. All right, we talk about the tokens. The government, truth, and spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, gifts, calling, grace of God are all tokens, okay, for your doxology. So I write. And then verse 18, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Okay, that is by the... that grace be with you, all amen, or be multiplied and increased for your obedience. May be multiplied and increased for your obedience. So we can see here in Thessalonica that there was many people that were converted. Okay, there are hordes of people. Paul was preaching, hordes of people come in. They all be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay, then after a time, as the dust begins to settle, you begin to see who really is standing and who isn't standing, right? Because God, it's like, this is what Jesus was teaching his apostles. Cast your net on the right side. Now, when they dragged the net in, okay, then what happened? They counted them, and they kept the good, but cast the bad away. Okay, this happens in every so-called revival. Okay, you're going to have the good and the bad together for a long time, as the tares and the wheat grew together for a long time. At the appointed time, the Lord will bring the division. Okay, so here, as he's writing this epistle, they're saying the wheat... are now growing forth, but the tares want to stop them. You have to now remove the tares. You have to remove the tares. This is what God is doing the second and eighth week, see? Okay, the tares are being removed so that the wheat can grow into the fullness of the sun without any kind of restriction. The moisture of the ground, the fullness of the sun, no shatters from the tares, okay, and no stealing of the water. Okay, that God is removing them first. Okay.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with you all. Amen.